listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Let's get into the game, because obviously Eli had a very impressive first half, and it felt like turning back time, and then it all came crashing down, and it really did. I mean, if you look at the second half drives, it was literally three plays, four plays. As bad, anemic of an offensive performance as you're ever going to see in a half of football. And I don't think you can necessarily give the Eagles a bunch of credit for it. So, Jonas, again, with the fans' eyes, what did you see in the first half? What did you see in the second?
They just want injuries are a factor, no doubt about it. They're banged up at multiple positions, but they just don't look like they have any rhythm on offense. And I just feel like, as for everything we hear about Carson Wentz getting his big contract, it's been a really, really down year for him. I understand the things around him that's going on, but I still find it hard to believe that this team's below 500 at this point in the season.
If you just use the eye test, and I'm always suspicious of that, because usually when someone has an opinion not backed by numbers, not backed by facts, I mean, really, any fact in the NFL is going to be a number, right? How many wins? How many Super Bowls? How many? It's not high math necessarily, but it's going to be a number. And if you don't have the numbers, you hear the cry, "Trust your eyes." And it's like, okay, but how, you know, what that's always fascinating is when are the numbers and the truth out of line? And I'm not saying that's never the case, but man, that's a rare, rare case. You got that, Brad?
Jim Plunkett is the only Super Bowl winner. Two wins without going to the Hall of Fame.
Oh my gosh. Now, what I remember about Plunkett is he had the single bar face mask, if I remember, because he was a kicker. Am I remembering that right? Or am I thinking of George Blanda? Oh, no, I'm thinking of George Blanda. Okay, that's another old Raiders quarterback. It's so funny. So I was born in 70, obviously 10 years old in 80. So like something like Earl Campbell in 78, I remember clear as a bell. Something like the Dolphins, you know, obviously when you're two, but the Dolphins' undefeated season seemed like something from prehistoric times. It's like when you're born and you start to be cognizant, yeah. It's like that's when time begins.
Yep.
You know, it's the same thing with Zeppelin. When I started listening to rock music, it was like 13, so 83, 84. Zeppelin had just retired like 3 years ago. It was like Zeppelin was Mozart. You know? In another way, too, because they were so great. But every time, Hit Parader, which was a big magazine, in music, you know, at the time, it was very cheesy. About every third issue had "Is Zeppelin doing a reunion?" was the cover. It was like, oh my God, could they? How old are they? So, there you go. RJ Vo, straight out of Vegas. The Wentz thing, Jonas, the idea that he's not the same quarterback that he was that first year, or the, you know, the season that, quite frankly, if he doesn't get injured, he probably wins the MVP.
Yes.
Do you think he's the same quarterback?
No, I don't. I think he's regressed.
And what do you think is the cause?
I think that mentally, he's always going to be chasing that Super Bowl, because when he's constantly got to hear they won a Super Bowl and there are teammates on that roster who won a Super Bowl, but it wasn't with him as the quarterback, it feels like he's going to be chasing that. And it feels like he's pressing at times, and he hears that, and I think the stress maybe sometimes gets to him, and because of it, I think his performance is lacking because of that.
So you think it's on the field that he's thinking, because really, the famous Joe Montana story, right? I think it was against the Bengals, comes out, last drive to win it.
Yep.
And these are why legends are, you know, really why legends are created. Is he apparently pointed it out and said, is that John Candy, who was, you know, the heavy set famous movie star at the time? And like, supposedly there was laughter all through the huddle and touchdown. Now, again, if he didn't score a touchdown, there might have been a, if he took that game seriously, maybe he would have won. You never know. It's the victor writes history, as they say. But Jonas has a fascinating point. If during the high leverage times, the high stakes times, he's feeling nervous, then it's going to affect them at the most important, the Eagles at the most important time. Numbers, though, numbers maybe say Jonas isn't right. So, Jonas, I'm going to give you full rebuttal time here.
Yeah.
If you want to say don't trust the numbers, trust your eyes. The Eagles, since they beat Atlanta in January 2017, remember, division round, Atlanta had the ball inside the 10 with less than 2 minutes left. Score, they win, most likely. At the time, Atlanta was favored. Vegas said Atlanta had a better chance to win the game than the Eagles. You got to wonder how Peterson, how everything, Frank Reich, all changes if odds had gone the way that they were favored to, right? Who knows if Peterson even has a job today? They get knocked out there?
Wow.
Right? Maybe this year it'd be like literally he better win out or he's in, you know. Since then, in counting that game, we ascertained, and there's some subjectivity to this. I'll tweet this out after the show at RJ in Vegas. Which games were must win? And anytime there's a must win game, you got to put the must in quotes. It usually means if you lose, you got like a 3% chance, right? So to practically be competitive, you got to win the game. So pregame.com research, McKenzie did this work. We looked at it and we added them all up. And I'll just run down some of the games just so we have a little context. Obviously, any playoff game is going to meet that, right? You got to win or you're out. And then we've got games in which they entered in at 4-6, 5-6, 5-7. Nick Foles returning to a starter against the Rams. Remember that game? They were 10-point dogs. Entered the game 7-7. All the way up to the last game of the year, making them 9-7. Wild card division round, et cetera, et cetera. Okay, you added all. So these are looking at it very objectively, looks like the list. 10-2 straight up. Philadelphia Eagles in a must-win game. 8-3-1 against the spread. So my memory is that it feels like Wentz seems to mess up when they have any cushion. Like, it's almost like, put our backs against the wall, baby. That's the way we like it. But when their backs get against the wall, they seem to win a crazy amount.
Yeah, and last night proved to be the issue. Wentz was unbelievable in the fourth quarter and overtime. He got a majority of his stats in those two sessions.
I actually think that Jonas is right, that emotion's there, but it's affecting him in a weird way. It's almost like it's causing him to be nervous until he gets to the precipice of, you know, playoff death, and then seemingly maybe he goes on autopilot. He's so nervous. I don't know, but I see his point because everyone I talk to that watches the All 22, the people that say, you know, oh, his target is a little low and the ball's sailing on him, they're watching every play. They're saying Wentz isn't this. He's not performing the throws, not just the stats, the throws at the same level. And I mean, just with my eye test, I'm not an All 22 guy. I agree.
Right out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
So, RJ, the college football playoff rankings came out on Sunday, and the final four is LSU, Ohio State 2, Clemson 3, and Oklahoma 4. They will meet in the college football playoff coming up later on this month. But you feel, being the voice of Vegas, that they got it very wrong.
Well, I think they got it wrong, but even more importantly is how important it is that they got it wrong. So, for the listeners, you got to ask yourself, do you agree with this? And then you're going to ask yourself, do you see now how impactful it really is? And it really is who was number one. Because on the surface, Ohio State winning a game against Wisconsin. Now, where was Wisconsin? I mean, we could look at the...
They were eighth.
The eighth in the playoff
rankings. In the playoff rankings, yep.
So the eighth best team.
Yep.
And they win by double digits.
Yep.
Now, they had a bad half.
Yep.
In a weird way, it's more impressive.
Absolutely it is, RJ, because that was the last remaining question we had about Ohio State.
Could they come back?
Could they come back? How would Ohio State handle adversity? They're down two touchdowns at halftime, 27-0 in the second half. That's the one remaining question that I had about the Buckeyes answered.
That's a good point from Brad Powers there. I hadn't even thought of that. I was thinking, were they down at any quarter? I don't think they've been down any quarter, have they?
I know coming into the game, they had only, all season long, had only trailed for like 4 total minutes out of all the games combined. 4 minutes.
Well, that's not a number. An undefeated Big Ten, that couldn't possibly be a number one seed. Now, you might say, well, LSU is undefeated and the SEC is better, right? You'd probably say it with a Southern accent, so which I have no offense to, but let's be honest. Not a lot of SEC fans in upstate New York.
No.
So, which conference was better? The Brad Powers power ratings, I think they're the best Vegas numbers out there. That's why you're on my show. What does your number say?
SEC better than the Big Ten. By, not by much. And what really hurts the Big Ten is a team like Rutgers, who's a bottom 10 team nationally. So a team like Rutgers really weighs
down. Yeah, but you know
down.
Something? Practically, it doesn't matter. So imagine I'm Usain Bolt in his prime, all right? And who do I care about? I care about no false starts, and I care about who's the two or three people that have any chance to beat me. If the 30th, or let's say in this case, the 12th guy or 14th guy was a little bit better or a little bit worse or even a lot better, so the 14th guy could be a number 10 somewhere else. Yeah. So what? I'm only going to be favored, you know, by, let's go back to football now. Oh, I'm favored by 28 instead of 33.
Yes.
Statistically, it's a distinction without a difference. That team is going to beat Ohio State or LSU, oh, almost never.
Yep.
When's the last time that such a good team? I know teams get upset, but when a team as good as Ohio State, as good as LSU, let's give them credit, it's a good team. When do they get beat? You know, the fact that Clemson almost got beat, they were 28 point?
Yes, against North Carolina.
It's been like the albatross of albatrosses, yes. And he still won the game. I don't think that matters. I think if you start ticking down, let's go down your power ratings and let's compare. This is all impromptu here, by the way. I'm RJ Bo straight out of Vegas. So let's ask Jonas as Brad's putting this together. So what I want to do is give me the top three teams in the SEC other than Ohio State, LSU. Top three in the Big Ten, and let's have one against one and see who would be favored. Let's take a gander. Jonas, just gut feeling, LSU, Ohio State, number one.
I would go Ohio State.
Why?
Because I think I was more impressed with them this season than I was LSU, and I think that many people sort of came to the conclusion in the first half with them trailing, oh, that's it, first spot is gone, never mind the entire second half where they were completely dominant over a team that they had already beaten and shut them down. I would lean towards LSU number one.
You know,
or
you
Ohio
just said,
State number one, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you just said something really, really on, I think. When you have that visceral reaction, to the point of that it's not just a score to an impression. Oh, Ohio State's disappointing. You have that in your brain pathways. I mean, they talk about things like, you know, envision the future and it will happen. Well, there's some science behind that. And if you think about it, you wake up from a scary dream, it feels real until you can kind of acknowledge it's not. Your body's having that reaction. A lot of people had the reaction, Ohio State is disappointing. Though if they just looked at the final score, they would have never thought that.
Right.
So let's go down, Brad, and go through the list. Who is the best team in the Big Ten other than Ohio State?
Michigan.
Okay. I don't agree with that, but we'll accept it. I mean, again, me and Harbaugh,
he smells,
do not get along. But it's more than personal. I just don't like his ethos. But who would they play?
Alabama. They just so happened to play them in the bowl game this year. Alabama's about a touchdown favorite. My power rankings say 6.
Okay. Now, let's be candid. The market, you, and I get it. Alabama has won consistently like no team we've seen.
Yeah.
I'm not talking 3 or 4 years, 5 years. I'm talking about a decade plus. And they've covered the spread a ton. A lot more than you. They're almost like the Patriots of college football. If there was a blind resume, where would Alabama be ranked?
Ooh.
Because I'm going to just give a little hint. 17.
Oh, no, not that.
What did they do? What's their, make my case. I'm the skeptic. All right. I'm the Alabama skeptic. Now, I kind of get the point that we can say, well, there's all these recruits they got. They got 4 stars. They got 5 stars. That's not necessarily a Southern accent, but it's kind of a limited intelligence accent. Not a Southern accent. Yeah. In fact, I love when there's like a super smart Southern person, because there are people that have a bias against that accent. And to me, they have an advantage. No one sees them coming.
Yep.
I got a little hillbilly accent. It's always been to my benefit. They're like, I don't have to worry about that guy. Listen and say, okay. Jonas thought the same thing, right? He's like, yeah, he doesn't have my smooth delivery. That's what he's thinking. He's right. That's funny. He actually gave a real laugh there. That was what was funny. Because you think about it, we came on the weekend before him. You know he's always eyeballing who's coming up saying, yeah. Oh, he probably had a big X through my name.
I knew all the behavioral patterns before the show started. I heard them every week. I knew them all.
No, I'm talking about when we did the weekend show.
I listened all the time, yeah.
So make the case.
If you look at points per game differential, margins, yards per play margins.
So with no consideration for strength of schedule then?
Strength of schedule was weak for Alabama this year.
Okay, so make your case. I mean, I think we're saying you can't.
Yeah, I can't.
All you can do is say, how could Alabama be worse than 6?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. But I know this. Sounds like Colin, that we criticize him for, saying, look at his arm strength. When you have a season worth of games, and what was their most impressive win?
Texas A&M maybe on the road.
And how many losses did Texas A&M have?
5.
Are you serious? That's the most. What's their second most impressive win?
Oh my goodness.
Duke?
Duke was a losing team. I might have to Mississippi State on the road maybe.
But somehow this is the better than any Big Ten team but Ohio State. All right. It could be, but let's admit it is total reliance on they got to be better than they seem. Yep. That doesn't seem like a great handicapping approach.
No.
RJ Bell straight out of Vegas talking to Brad Powers. He has all the college knowledge. I disagree with him on Alabama. Number 2.
You're going to disagree on this one. Georgia, about a 2-point favorite over Wisconsin.
Okay. Which Georgia's most impressive win?
Florida.
Okay. And how much they win that one by?
7.
All right. Second most impressive?
Notre Dame, 1 by 6.
Okay. You know, I'll give them the Notre Dame. There's finally an SEC comp. I mean, they look so bad. But they would be that big of a fate. Well, I guess I would not want the injuries accounted for. You, like across this. But you're assuming they were healthy.
Yep.
13.
13 would be Auburn, a 2-point favorite over Penn State.
Wow. It just seems like every SEC team gets the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, because other than Alabama, who did Auburn beat?
Oregon.
Okay. And let's be candid.
Yeah, fortunate in that game.
I mean, we always talk about false finals.
Yes.
How do you think? I mean,
for a majority of the second half, Auburn's chances of winning that game were like 30% at best.
What do you think, Jeff?
Did Georgia get punished enough for their South Carolina loss?
I mean, since they got, South Carolina.
Yeah.
I thought you were bringing up how in the playoff, I keep wanting to say BCS, in the playoff rankings, how much did they drop from getting demolished?
No drop. Because
they got demolished.
Yeah.
How many?
They dropped 1 spot is all. Oklahoma passed them. And they still said the argument for 4 was between Oklahoma and Georgia.
It's crazy.
That was the argument.
I tell you this. I always think they're very savvy, the committee. That's about the stupidest thing they could say. Because I speculated they dropped Alabama so much to make a statement. But it's my belief. And I'll tell you this. If you agree with this or disagree, I want to hear an argument against it. Like, oh, no way, RJ. And if you agree, you're going to love it because this is wild. I believe that they saw, remember, what happened the penultimate weekend. So 2 weekends ago, what happened? Ohio State beat Michigan. Auburn beat Alabama. I think they had the Michigan-Alabama game slotted. Because let's be candid, if you had to rank the games other than the playoffs you want to see.
Oh, Michigan, Alabama. other than the playoffs, Michigan, Alabama's clearly above any of those New Year's Six games.
All right, so you made a big point. You said, RJ, let's defend the committee a second because they dropped Alabama so much, they're not going to make the Big Six. Yeah. I said, well, explain those rules to me. And about 20 minutes later, you go, you know, I don't know if I know all those rules. Yeah. So there's some convoluted rules.
Yes.
But somehow I saw, wait, Michigan, New Year's Day, Brad was wrong. I came in with a big smile, and he goes, no, that's not a New Year's Day Six game. It's like, what? It's on New Year's Day. But it's the biggest game of the bowls. They had it slotted. Give them credit. Good matchmaking.
Yep.
But then they could still drop Alabama really harshly, look like they're punishing them, but set up the best freaking matchup of the bowls.
Yep.
So no punishment, really.
No.
All right, guys, do you believe that? It just seems coincidental that Michigan lost that day, and so did Alabama. Then they make some gesture that they never do against the SEC, and lo and behold, Alabama lands on their feet. What a coincidence.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
RJ, we've been discussing the college football playoff rankings, and you guys think Ohio State has a more than legitimate gripe to be the number one team in the country.
I think the committee was wrong, and we talked about the impact first. Why does it matter? Well, Oklahoma, not near as good as the Big Three. And Clemson, by the way, favored right now over Ohio State. Brad was the first national voice, Brad Powers, talking about we were sleeping on Clemson. Tomorrow, we'll actually bring some numbers to the table. For an undefeated team, this was a historic season in some ways, not to mention defending champions. But they're good. They're favored. And if you look at the odds of Ohio State winning against Oklahoma, 83%. That's just math. Odds now currently against Clemson, 47%. Literally, their chance to win even the first game almost got cut in half. Their title odds for the Buckeyes almost got cut in half. Big impact. High State with more quality wins. 5, top 25 versus 4. But out of conference, Brad, woo-wee. There's a stat on the Buckeyes, 3 games that blows me away.
Yeah, so the Buckeyes played 3 out-of-conference games. All 3 of those teams played in their conference championship game, Florida Atlantic, Cincinnati, and Miami of Ohio.
So you're saying, hey, we're not playing a bunch of Division Ones, and maybe you could say they didn't intend to play such tough teams, but they did.
Yep.
We can't act like a conference champion. Like Cincinnati, I mean, they had a heck of a season.
Absolutely, won 10 games.
So let's then compare to LSU. Now, they played Texas.
Yep.
Let's give them credit for the scheduling. How many losses Texas have?
5.
Okay, so not a great team.
No.
What were their other? I bet they had a tough one in there.
I don't think so. Georgia Southern, Utah State, and Northwestern State. That's state, Northwestern State, not Northwestern.
Yeah, that would have been too tough playing Northwestern.
Yeah.
Now, really, guys, you win your conference championship game by double digits. You have the better point difference, all the stats like that. You have more quality wins if you're Ohio State, and you have a tougher out-of-conference schedule. And somehow LSU jumps. You know why? Because LSU was always going to jump. You know why?
They do not lose money. They don't mind if everybody else does, but they don't lose. It's impossible, but they'll figure a way. I've seen things you wouldn't believe. You'll see.
Well, we saw, didn't we?
Yeah.
Is somehow, no rhyme or reason, LSU jumps. Now, why is it money? Because think about it. LSU versus either of these teams guarantees a title that people want to watch. Let's be candid. LSU Ohio State sounds like a heck of a matchup.
Yep.
LSU Clemson, defending champion, new kid on the block, ACC, SEC. But imagine if Ohio State played Oklahoma and they win, and you might think, okay, that's a good game. But Ohio State Clemson in the finals? I get it. You might say, what's the LSU obviously is the team that the fans are behind right now. Could you tell me that Clemson and Ohio State, which is a semifinal game, does that cause the casual fan to get involved? Because you might say defending champion, and I'm going to say they don't even know that necessarily. The casual fan's going to sit down, who's playing. I just can't fathom anyone thinks Clemson – is the same draw. Now, I know as a football fan, you might be thinking, well, it's a hell of a game. I just don't think it'd be the same draw. What do you think?
LSU's a bigger draw than Clemson, but yeah. I'll argue Ohio State's and Alabama are the two biggest draws in college football.
Yeah, but they couldn't get out. They tried everything they could to get them in, but they couldn't get them in.
Yeah. Right out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.